Many blessings to you all and welcome to your journey in faith with the Reverend Dr. Amos Chewachong. Our text for reflection is Luke 3:1-14. The Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 3 verse 1 to 14. It was now the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius, the Roman Emperor. Pontius Pilate was governor over Judea. Herod Antipas was ruler over Galilee. His brother Philip was ruler over Iturea and Trachonitis. Licinius was ruler over Abilene. Annas and Caiaphas were the high priests. At this time, a message from God came to John, son of Zechariah, who was living in the wilderness. Then John went from place to place on both sides of the Jordan River, preaching that people should be baptized to show that they had repented of their sins and turned to God to be forgiven. Isaiah had spoken of John when he said, "He is a voice shouting in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way for the Lord's coming, clear the road for him.' The valleys will be filled, and the mountains and hills made level. The curves will be straightened, and the rough places made smooth. And then all people will see the salvation sent from God." When the crowds came to John for baptism, he said, "You brood of snakes, who warned you to flee the coming wrath? Prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God. Don't just say to each other, 'We are safe, for we are descendants of Abraham.' That means nothing. For I tell you, God can create children of Abraham from these very stones. Even now, the axe of God's judgment is poised, ready to sever the roots of the trees. Yes, every tree that does not produce good fruit will be chopped down and thrown into the fire." The crowds asked, "What should we do?" John replied, "If you have two shirts, give one to the poor. If you have food, share it with those who are hungry." Even corrupt tax collectors came to be baptized and asked, "Teacher, what should we do?" He replied, "Collect no more taxes than the government requires." "What should we do?" asked some soldiers. John replied, "Don't extort money or make false accusations, and be content with your pay." My theme for reflection is preparing the way when joy is noisy. Preparing the way when joy is noisy. If you walk into a shopping center in December, you might think joy can be bought in bulk. Lights everywhere, music on repeat, smiles carefully curated. Yet many of us know the strange dissonance of this season. Outward cheer colliding with inward weariness. It is into precisely this such a moment that Luke places John the Baptist, thundering not relax or celebrate, but repent. At first glance, it feels like the wrong message at the wrong time. But Luke 3:1-14 insists that real joy requires honest preparation. The problem John confronts is not the absence of religion, but the presence of false security. Luke carefully names emperors, governors, and high priests, reminding us that power structures were firmly in place. Yet God's word does not come to palaces or temples. It comes to the wilderness, to John. The world appears ordered and impressive, but beneath it lies injustice, exploitation, and spiritual complacency. People assume they are safe because of heritage, status, or routine faith. John shatters that illusion. Repentance is not optional, and ancestry alone will not save. Repentance, as John proclaims it, is not gloomy self-hatred, but a decisive turning. The prophet Isaiah had imagined this moment centuries earlier. Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Isaiah 40 verse 3. Valleys are filled, mountains lowered, crooked paths straightened. This is not road work for God's convenience, it is hard work for human healing. Pride must come down, despair lifted up, and distorted habits made honest. The coming Messiah will not squeeze through cluttered lives. Space must be made. Crucially, the crowds ask a practical question. What then should we do? John's answer is strikingly ordinary. Share clothing and food. Do not exploit your position. Be content with what you have. No dramatic rituals, no heroic feats, just concrete justice and compassion woven into daily life. Repentance proves itself not in words but in fruit. As Augustine of Hippo once observed, the proof of love is in the works of love. John might have nodded in agreement. Luke also exposes the danger of performative repentance. John's harsh words, "You brood of vipers," are aimed at those who want religious reassurance without moral change. They want the comfort of baptism without the cost of transformation. John insists that genuine preparation for Christ reshapes economic behavior, social relationships, and the use of power. Faith that does not touch money, possessions, and authority has not yet reached the heart. Yet this call is not despairing, it is hopeful. John is not the destination but the signpost. He prepares people to recognize Jesus, who will bring forgiveness, the Spirit, and new life. Repentance clears the ground so grace can take root. The joy of Christmas is not cancelled by repentance, it is made possible by it. As Dietrich Bonhoeffer warned, cheap grace is grace without discipleship. Advent repentance protects us from cheap joy and leads us toward lasting peace. For Christian people today, Luke 3 asks uncomfortable but necessary questions. In a world noisy with distraction and injustice, repentance remains deeply relevant. It calls us to resist both self-indulgence and self-righteousness and to live in ways that reflect the coming kingdom. Preparation for Christ means allowing God to reorder not just our prayers, but our priorities. There are two questions for reflection. Number one, where might I be relying on religious identity or habit instead of genuine transformation? Number two, what specific area of my daily life, money, time, power, relationships needs to be made straight before God? And now our practical exercise for the day. Choose one concrete act of repentance expressed as generosity or fairness. Share resources, correct an unfair practice, or reconcile with someone you have wronged. Gracious God, you speak to us not only in celebration, but in truth. Search our hearts and clear the clutter that blocks your way. Teach us repentance that bears fruit, faith that acts in love, and joy that runs deeper than circumstances. As we prepare and continue to celebrate the birth of Christ, make us ready, humbled, hopeful, and transformed. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all now and forevermore. Amen.